Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. You will absolutely fall in love with the quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud. If you know, you know. All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu. This is absolutely a show I'm getting behind. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I'm recording from WTF Media Studios, the most chic, sexy, gorgeous studio to record from. We are in Soho, New York. I have the most fabulous guest of all time here with me today, Izzy Uncut, and I'm going to give you just the grand intro that you deserve because I know it needs to be grand. But first, I want to give everyone a little bit of a backstory because I met you, Izzy, through Kiana.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, but I'm sure you do, Kiana, A, works for me, B, is one of my best friends, C, a bitch, because she completely roasted me last week on my own podcast, but we love her. You guys have been friends since what, middle school?
Yes. So I knew her through All-Star Cheerleading, which was my past life, my subsection of faggotry, if you will. I was an All-Star Cheerleading coach and choreographer, but before that, I was just an athlete, and we kind of had similar friends and just knew each other through that.
Okay. Could you do a standing full?
Yes.
I was a cheerleader, too.
Yeah.
But I could never get a full.
Oh, my God. All-Star Cheerleader?
All-Star Cheerleader, and I was on, there were like five different teams. I was the next lowest from the, you know, the most advanced team you could be on.
Yes.
It really fucked with my self-esteem that I could never get there.
You're like, God damn it, I'll never be level five.
Actually.
Wait, that's hysterical. Yeah, no, I've known Kiana for a minute. No, her dad, Mr. Bobby Condors.
Bobby Condors.
Yes.
I said last week to Kiana, I was like, I wish your dad was here instead of you. That would have been so much to have an actual celebrity like on the show.
An actual celebrity.
But Kiana put us in touch. And I'm fucking pissed that it took this long because I'm obsessed with you already. Izzy walked in. I was naked. She saw me in my thong getting dressed up because, Izzy, this is the most dressed up I have ever, ever, ever been recording a podcast ever.
You usually say like leggings, sweatpants, like fuck it.
1,000%. And I had a feeling that you would show up and outdress me.
Can you imagine I showed up in sweatpants? I'm like, hey, this is just audio, right? Like nobody's ever going to see this. I'm a full man, like no wig whatsoever.
And then I would feel like a fucking idiot wearing this randomly all of a sudden for no reason.
No, you're doing drag. You're doing drag. The tits are pressed. Right? It's happening.
No, the tits aren't pressed. They're just naturally huge, Izzy.
That's it. Giant, guys, huge natural.
Guys, you guys. Okay, Izzy Uncut. Now here is your grand intro. Izzy Uncut, everybody. Izzy is a drag queen based out of New York City. You perform all over the city. You said that your work is inspired by strong, funny women that can hold a stage.
Yes. Oh, you've read some bios.
I have.
Look at her, because I was like, I didn't even send that to you. You just like, you knew that just from knowing.
Well, I thought you were talking about me, kind of.
Precisely, that's what it was.
You know what I mean?
I said, my drag is inspired by you, and look at me, my tits, just pushed to the gods. They're huge naturals here. I'm being you today.
What the, I mean, strong, funny women that can hold a stage. Hi.
Precisely.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
But you've made a name for yourself through your performances. I have been obsessed with drag since I was 12 years old. And I saw Tu Wong Fu on accident. I wasn't supposed to. And then The Birdcage. Since then, I've been obsessed.
That's when the bug bit you.
Right? Did you watch those movies?
I have, yes.
You have?
Yes.
Do you not like them?
I mean,
you're giving a face right now that's giving me the vibe you don't love it.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's required reading, basically.
Okay,
like,
got it.
Like, you have to see it.
Uh-huh.
But like, I'm like, I don't actively go home and watch them anymore. Like, you haven't watched them in a while, I'm sure, right?
No, I haven't.
Exactly.
It's like in high school when you have to read The Great Gatsby. Precisely. And like the bell jar.
Exactly.
Similar to that. Okay. Totally feel that. Izzy Uncut is your drag name.
Yes.
Which it didn't register in my brain what the fuck that meant until, I don't know, 5 hours later. Genius. Is he uncut?
You gotta ask the important questions.
It's so fucking good. And when we're talking about uncut, are we saying uncircumcised or are we saying the penis is still intact?
Uncircumcised. So I always say, I'm like, my legal name is Isabella Uncircumcised, but you can call me Izzy Uncut.
That is fucking hilarious. Okay, I love that. I was trying to think of what my drag name would be and it's too hard. It's too hard to come up with anything.
It is. It's very difficult. There's like, there's some cute ones. There's some ones that like, when anybody asks, they're like, what should my drag name be?
Uh-huh.
Like, and everybody has like a notes app section of like ones that they're like, I almost was this, or I didn't want to be this, or blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. There's also a lot of really basic ones. I was watching RuPaul and some of them, I'm like, really? Where's the creativity?
A lot of them sound exactly like the same. Like,
yeah.
There's like Anita Cocktail and like things like that.
Exactly.
Where I'm like, everybody's done like an Anita pun. Like, and,
right,
and
Anita Dick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many people that have a version like that. Like, if you're coming into the scene right now and you want to be Anita something,
uh-huh.
It's like, no, baby. Like, there's already successful girls that got that.
Me literally scrolling through my notes right now and going right past my Anita Dick one that I wrote down.
No, you're like we said, you're Heather Gray Sweatpants. That's your name.
No, I was thinking, so my middle name is Vanina.
Okay.
Which is very Argentine. I'm sure you've never
heard of that. Sophia Vanina.
The fact that it rhymes and my mom did that shit to me, like, fuck off, but I love you, mom. I was thinking it could be something with Vanina.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's one letter away from vagina. I was gonna say Vanina Nowina. Like, I
oh, that's good. Oh, that's
really not bad.
Vanina,
right?
Nowina's fun.
Right?
Yeah. Wait, I'm actually very impressed with that you came up with that.
Bill, oh my God, thank you so much. That was, mm-hmm.
We're paying a ghostwriter for that one. I'm sure. No, no, that's really good.
No, I came up with that one. Izzy, I wanna back up a little bit and just talk about kind of your origin story, the birth of her, where your origins began with this, and what made you want to do drag, basically.
Well, essentially, like I said, all-star cheerleading coach, choreographer. I lived in Jersey all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to live in New York. And eventually I decided, I'm like, change a career, let's move here, let's do it. But there's no market for cheerleading. So I was like, okay, if I'm moving to New York, start fresh.
Right.
Was working just like designer retail. And then I was like selling memberships at an Equinox.
I
thought like,
you said no market for cheerleading. Like, I'm crying.
There's like nothing. Like,
there
you,
isn't.
You really can't do it here. The space that it requires to have like just the room for gyms. Like, it's 1,000. Like you have to go all the way out to like Staten Island. And like,
right.
Why would you do that?
How bad? How bad did you want to be a flyer?
I was a flyer sometimes.
You were?
I would do a couple basket tosses here and there.
You
I was never like pulling body positions. Yeah, but I was like, I'm a skinny lady. But yeah, no, I was like, I would be thrown in the air when it would be like, they need like the one boy doing the basket toss
okay.
every once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah. You were a flyer, obviously.
No, I actually wasn't.
What were you?
The fuck in the front or just, side? What is it called? A side?
A side. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a side?
Yeah.
That's all it's called.
And also a side is like a sexual position too.
Right?
You know that?
Like, is it? What?
So in the gay community, you can be a top, you can be a bottom, and then you could obviously be verse, which is like, mm-hmm. I do both. But then it's very European. Some people are more into it now, but some people are like, I'm a side, like I really don't fuck with anal sex. So they'll be like, I just do mouth stuff.
Oh, so blowjobs.
Yeah, blowjobs. Like, I'm a side. I'm somewhere in between.
Oh,
I'm like, don't,
God.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I'm such an idiot because I really thought you were going to say it's like when you are laying on your side.
I only get fucked on my side.
I was like, wait, I don't really understand that. A side is so many things. It's a sex position, also like a side piece.
Yeah.
We've all been a side at one point.
Absolutely. It's kind of fun.
It is.
It's kind of fun.
I mean, yeah. Actually, I'd be so down to be a side.
Yeah.
But only oral sex on me, and like I don't have to do it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Just receptive. Like that's all.
Side receptive.
Yes.
We're making it a thing.
Exactly.
So, okay, so there wasn't a market for cheerleading. Then you worked in retail.
And I started going out and like just watching drag shows like here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing queens that were big in the city doing shows at the bars that I do shows at now. Queens mm-hmm. like Bob the Drag Queen, Monet Exchange, Ms. Cracker. And it was kind of just like my calling. I was like watching people like be very funny, hold a mic, hold a crowd, be able to just be like hysterical and put on a show. And I was like, I can do that.
Oh.
And then I tried, failed. I was not like, I obviously was not as funny as them. And then, you know, now 5 years later, I have shows at all the bars in the city and it's happened for me. I'm happy with it.
You're fucking incredible. So your first show was what, a bust? Did you want to die? Were you like, what the fuck?
So like the way to get started in New York is like you have to do a bunch of just like competitions. So you just show up, you bring as many of your friends as possible to cheer you on, and you do like one number, and if you're good, you win like a cash prize of like $100 that night.
Oh.
And if you lose, then you just go home with your tips and you try again next week. So
stop.
So I was like, I think I'm gonna kill it. I'm gonna be the best bitch. And you gotta go into it with that confidence.
Yeah.
And then you gotta get knocked down a peg and be like, okay, you're not the best person ever. You're never gonna be the best your first time doing anything.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And you think it took 5 years for you to just really come into your own and just like command the stage? No, I'm sure it happened a little bit earlier on.
Yeah, I'd say I started doing drag full time after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now been 3 years since I've just been like just full time drag, 5 shows a week.
Wow.
I'd say about like 2 years in, that's when I kind of like realized I was like, oh, I'm like actually really good at this. I'm getting booked, like not just like entering competitions. And
okay.
It's for me.
Yeah. Okay, me over 3 years into podcasting being like, wait, that moment hasn't hit me yet.
No, shut the fuck up. You're great. You know it.
Where can they see you, by the way? Where can I come and see you?
All right. So, everything is listed, on all like my social media. It's mm-hmm. always, a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm at this bar 5 nights a week. But for New York in particular, you got to really like diversify your portfolio.
Yes.
You'll be everywhere.
Okay. We're talking about stock.
Yes, exactly. So, my work week starts on a Saturday and then it ends on a Wednesday. So Saturday I'm at a Playhouse Bar in the West Village. On Sundays, I am at Hardware Bar in Hell's Kitchen. Mondays, I'm at Barracuda in Chelsea. Tuesdays, I am at Hush. They just had a rebrand, whole new bar, my newest show. So that's in Hell's Kitchen. And then on Wednesday nights, I am at Pieces Bar in the West Village.
Amazing. I mean, we're gonna plug your socials. I'm coming to see you this Saturday.
Oh my God, you have to.
Like by
that's the fun show. It'll be
is
great.
It?
Yes.
Will you get me a front row seat?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. I'll pay for it, but just like
no tickets, baby. If you just show up, you walk on in. If anybody wanted to stalk me, I just told them exactly where I am. They know where I am every single night. But I'll make sure to have a little reserved seat. It'll
oh
be great. We'll
God.
Bring you up on stage. It'll be cute. We'll make it a moment.
Stop.
Yes.
Okay, so your performance. I watched a little RuPaul. I'm sure every time you speak to someone, that's the first fucking thing they say.
It's definitely like, yeah, top five.
Right?
Absolutely.
Have you thought about going on the show?
I've auditioned for the show 3 times.
Okay.
And obviously have not gone on yet.
But you're going to go on.
I mean, I would love to.
We're going to push for that. We're going to make it happen.
We're going to push for that.
RuPaul.
Call your senators. but yeah, no, I would love to be on the show. I love the show. A lot of my friends have been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to like watch the getting ready process.
Oh,
it's so intense.
We are going to get into that. I have 78 questions about the getting ready process, but as far as your performance goes, there's a lot of lip syncing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it syncing or singing?
Syncing.
It's sync.
Because you want to sync your lips up with the music.
Holy shit, I'd never even fucking thought about that. Lip syncing, I mean, I kind of know how to do it just from some TikToks that I've done.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're a lot better than me, but I was stalking your Instagram and your performances. The splits. The fucking splits, I can't.
Oh my
it
God.
Is insane. Would you do the splits on here?
Should I? Should I do a little
I'm
one?
Begging you. I'm begging you.
Where should I do this?
Here, let's move the table really fast.
Because absolutely.
It's the crazy, guys, it's the craziest splits I've ever seen in heels.
Uh-huh.
I can't.
I mean, thank you.
Whenever you're ready, baby doll. Oh my God. I don't fucking understand. That was insane. Does it hurt?
So, no, not really. It's all just in your like hamstrings and everything. So, wow. As far as like tucking, like, depending on what I'm wearing, I'll like, I never, you cannot pay me enough money to like put tape on my genitals. So I just don't do it.
Why? Because it fucking hurts.
Yeah. It's just not worth it to me.
Yeah.
There's like tucking panties and things like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, you just like kind of put the balls in the socket and they're like directly in front of you if you're like tucked properly.
Right.
So you're never going to like on them.
Right.
But really just like doing splits, like even if things are just kind of like mushed around on down there, I call it like lava lamping. Uh-huh. Everything just moves freely. Nothing's like going to be just like, just exactly like cracked like an egg or anything like that.
I mean, I'm thinking of my vagina and if I jumped and did the splits that way, mm-hmm. it's because my flaps are so long. It would hurt me.
Long flaps. wait, what was your middle name again?
Vagina. Vanina.
Vanina. Lucy Vanina.
Oh my God, yeah. That's it. That's literally what it is. A question I wanted to ask you is, how competitive is the drag world? Obviously, it's fucking competitive. You try to be on RuPaul 3 times, you will be on the show. Mm-hmm. But is it competitive as fuck?
It's competitive. I mean, it really depends. There's definitely like a sense of like sisterhood that you have with like a lot of people. Like, and if you just kind of stay in your own lane and focus on yourself, it's not particularly competitive.
Okay.
But there's so many opportunities as far as so many bars, but there's also such an influx of drag based on how popular it's gotten over the years. So, I mean, if you're like a mean-spirited person, you could be like, it's me versus everyone, or you could be like, it's me versus me.
Wait, I fucking love that.
Thank you.
That yeah. needs to go on a fucking t-shirt. That's
there you beautiful. Go. Merch incoming. It's happening.
Incoming. TM, and I'm not going to pay you royalties.
I have options. Yeah.
Yeah, I have fucking options. Do you have a drag queen idol?
Drag queen idol. I mean, somebody that I'm lucky to call one of my closest friends, the main person that ever that inspired me to start drag is Ms. Cracker. Okay. She was on Drag Race season 10. She was on All Stars 5. And basically she's amazing. She's hysterical. I was going to her shows like all across the city with one of my best friends, Caitlin, who is now her assistant.
Oh my
and
God.
That was the person that like inspired me where I'm like, she's funny. I could be funny too. I'm a funny person. I just don't scream into a microphone all night. I want to start screaming into a microphone. So I'd say, yeah, definitely. That's one of those people that's like a hero. But since I'm so close to them, it's not like an unattainable thing where
right.
I'm like, yeah,
right,
it's not
right.
like me being like, I look up to RuPaul, who I do, mm-hmm. but it's so unattainable and so untouchable.
Yes.
Like having Cracker so close to me is like, it's really nice to see her thrive and be,
yeah.
And, like, talk to her about
it. So you guys are good friends?
Good friends, yeah. Absolutely.
I fucking love that.
That's great.
And what season was she on? I want to check her out now.
She was on season 10 and then I believe it was All Stars 5. I don't think it was 6. Okay. I think it was All Stars 5.
Okay, got it. Does she perform in New York?
So now she like tours the world. I performed in London with her. She got to perform the London Palladium with her one-woman show.
Okay, we're international, everybody.
Right? But as her like opening act, she was allowed to bring like 3 of her like favorite queens from New York. Mm-hmm. I got to perform a number there at like this legendary theater. It was very cool. It was really great. So she performs in New York, but only like ever so often.
Yep. Right. How common is drag kings? I feel like that would be the most boring thing to do as a woman, to dress up as a man.
So that's the argument that a lot of people have. People say that like drag kings aren't exciting, mm-hmm. but they can be
very exciting,
I think.
Okay.
People just think because like drag queens, it's the big hair, it's the fabulous costumes, it's that you think it's like Vegas showgirl type situation, mm-hmm. which it can be. But then there's also people that do like alternative drag. They'll be like kind of just like rock star girls that are like looking like Avril Lavigne, and that's their style of drag. So it's not always the glitz and the glamour. And all of it's valid. It's the exact same thing when it comes to drag kings. So there's drag kings that do it a little more. They go for like the realness of a man, which, you know, you could say like, oh, that's a little bit boring, but
or it could be fucking hilarious. Or it could put it that way.
Exactly. There's a couple of kings that will do like full blown, just like it'll be like they'll rhinestone everything more than I do. Like they'll be in full like. the regalia. They'll look like magicians. Okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, well, this is super fun and crazy and great. So yeah, no, there's definitely a drag king scene. In New York City, it doesn't really overlap as much as I think it honestly should.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's definitely king scenes. Chicago has a really huge king scene. It's really great. Yeah, LA, all things like that. It's really great.
Thank you for checking me, because I was just putting that in such a box. And when I thought drag king, I was thinking, what are you going to do? Put on a flannel and do a John Mayer song and like scratch your balls. But really, it can be like whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
That's me putting men in a box.
Yes.
And they don't need to be in a box.
No.
Same way women don't.
Just ours. Yeah. Just our boxes.
Just ours.
Just put the men in our boxes.
I'm fucking dead. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. So I just have so many fucking questions for you. What are some things people should know if they're going to their first drag show? Because I think there's a lot of unwritten rules. Even though it's this like amazing, fun experience overall, I feel like there's some basic things people should know.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it is not the fuck ass about you. People come to a drag show and first and foremost, they like want recognition when they're like, this is my first drag show. Or
write it
like,
in your journal. Write it in your journal.
Exactly. I'm like, you would never walk into any other store with a punch card and want special treatment because it's your first time there.
Right.
Like, that's not how the punch card works. You gotta come 10 times before you get a free shot, baby.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Actually.
Or people will be like, you should really pick on my straight friend. My boyfriend's here and like he's straight. You should make fun of him. Or like, it's not about you. Or people will get up and start like dancing with you. And I'm like, you would never do that in any other art form. Like, you would never get on stage with a stand-up and start making jokes. You would never, like, start singing at a concert, like, with the singer. Like, everybody else is sitting and watching a show. Just kind of, like, play off what the rest of everybody else is doing. If you're the only person screaming back at me, like, heckling me, or if you're the only person getting up and, like, dancing in front of the stage, I'm like, I jump off the stage. I will kill you. Like, you're in the hazard zone, babe. Like,
you just splits them out.
Yeah, I like, get the fuck out. Yeah.
I love that.
It's crazy. That. And there's security at every bar. I'm like, you don't want to be the one that, like, ruins your night for your friends because you're trying to make it so much about you. Like, it's crazy.
It's people treating it more like a party than you're there for a performance.
Exactly.
And it is quite the fucking performance.
Exactly. And then there's a lot of people that, like, come to drag shows regularly. They obviously know how it works. But the people that treat it like, I call it, like, queer tourism, where they're just kind of, like, here to, like, watch the monkeys dance, basically, and just, like, they treat it like a zoo. Like, oh my God, look how the faggots play. This is so crazy. That's when I'm like, ugh, like, this is not a cute vibe.
Yeah.
And people want to say that it's all, like, bachelorette parties, which, like, I've definitely had my fair share of bad bachelorette parties, but I've also had my fair share of just, like, annoying faggots that don't like drag. So it's, like, it's not just the straight girls. It's, like, there are disrespectful people everywhere. But it's the people that kind of treat it more like a spectacle and not like, oh, like, this is an art form. This is something that we're here to see and appreciate. And it's something that's like, ha, look over there. Like,
oh my God.
It's very weird.
Weird tourism. I've never heard that term until right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's very weird.
Is that, could that be compared to people that go to a gay club? Just to, like, see what's happening.
Exactly, yeah.
It's that type of thing.
Yeah, and I'm fine with straight people in queer spaces. I'm fine with, like, I'm absolutely okay with that. But when you, like, treat it like, when you're not respecting the space, when you're not, when you're trying to make it more about you, that's when I'm kind of like, ugh. So basically just don't make it about you.
Yes, 1,000%. I'm going to start doing live shows soon. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to handle hecklers.
Oh my God. It's hell. You've never done one before?
No.
God, well, if you need an opening act, somebody warm them up.
Yes.
Baby. We're always networking. We're always networking.
Always. It never stops. This is, I mean, it isn't random, but I just found this out recently. Children banned from drag shows in Texas is a thing.
Yes.
Which is insane to me.
Yes.
Out of all the things happening in the world, that's what we need to make sure it doesn't.
Of all the things that Texas should be banning, they're banning drag queens.
What do you think about that? And is Texas the only state that does that?
I think Florida might be trying to do something similar to that right now. I'm not sure exactly.
I'm not surprised, Florida.
Right. It's stupid. It's hellish. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Also, like, I didn't get into drag to fraternize with fucking children. Like, I don't, like, I didn't want to, like, it's not that I, like, hate kids, but I definitely, like, don't want to, like, interact with them on the daily. Like, I want to interact with adults. Like,
yeah.
I famously perform at bars, like, one of the only places on earth where it's illegal to not be 21 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't do it to be around kids. So if, like, you're thinking it's predatory that, like, there's drag queens around them, it's like the only time I ever do things around kids is when I'm getting paid, like, lovely by adults to, like, perform at, like, a pride with an outdoor stage that kids can come to. Like,
yeah.
Some people do, like, drag queen reading hour, but I'm like, the people that, like, choose to be around children for free, they're creepier than drag queens who are getting paid lovely to like, perform for adults and children together.
Mic drop. Thank you. That was, I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, you're not putting your performance together thinking, how will this 9-year-old take this in and love this and want to come back?
Exactly.
What?
No, I'm not doing it for kids. If kids like it and parents are like, want to expose them to, like, queer culture and show them that,
it's
like,
amazing.
Show them drag is great, then yeah, absolutely. I do think, like, showing kids this and showing kids, like, what drag is, like, if I knew what drag was growing up, like, that would have been great. That would have been amazing. I didn't find out until, like well into high school. But I'm not doing this for children. So,
right.
Like, don't think it's, like, this predatory thing when drag queens, like, happen to be around kids once every, like, 20 gigs.
I know. Like, wait, what the? Texas, just fucking knock it off.
Exactly.
I mean, it's completely ridiculous. I think it's so powerful and beneficial, if anything, for children to see that type of creativity and showmanship, you know?
Yeah.
Visibility is everything. Just like what you were saying, I think it's important for kids to see that growing up.
Absolutely.
I don't think kids should listen to my podcast.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now. This is something completely different.
Exactly. And it's like, but like, if they did, is that on you or is that on them? Like,
that's what I always say.
Exactly.
I'm not here to be a role model for your kids.
Exactly.
Fuck Texas. And fuck Florida. Even though I feel like there's a lot of drag in Florida.
They have a lot of drag in Florida. And there's a lot of drag in Texas, too.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a huge Texas scene.
Okay, I have to ask this because I'm sure you deal with fucking haters all the time. The people in Texas, as an example. Just people that are uncomfortable with the LGBTQ community. Specifically, a lot of times with men who dress in drag, how do you act around those people? Like, do you have like an example? Oh, Kiana told me. Kiana actually told me before we did this that you refuse to dress in drag when you're on the subway here in New York.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have done it before, and sometimes it's like necessary, but I can't remember the last time I've been on drag on the subway. And like, I just don't want to be around people and be like a spectacle when I'm like not getting paid for it, when it's not like, I'm like, this is my job. Like, I'm doing drag for my show. I'm not doing drag like for the subway. And then like, I don't want to deal with like people fucking with me. There's queens that will go in full face, but then like boy clothes and a backwards hat and everything.
Oh my God.
But then there's also people that will be in full drag, like Cracker. She would be in full drag like every single night, like on the way to the gig, like with her little suitcase. And she like loved it. And I'm like, I'm just kind of like, I want to like put it all on, be uncomfortable in the Uber for 20 minutes and then get to the gig and start my job.
It's a personality thing.
Exactly.
Do you want people staring at you or do not?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, the attention's great, but then also it's like, I know I'm getting almost always positive attention at my shows. Yes. On the subway, you're dealing with a whole new cast of characters that is not always positive.
Right. What's the most uncomfortable experience? I mean, you don't have to tell me the most uncomfortable, but like just any experience that was just horrible, like you're like, what the fuck?
There's been people that have like thrown drinks, not at me, but like they've tried to make the show about them, and then I stop my mix midway through.
And what do you do?
I'll basically be like, what are you doing? Why do you think that like this is about you? Why do you think that you're more important than everybody else here? Like, this is my show. And then I'm like, okay, like let's ask the audience. And I'll usually like kind of be a little rude, and I'll be like, I'm like, who here wants me to continue performing? And they're like, woo. And I'm like, okay, now what's your name, sir? Oh, like John. Who wants John to perform instead? And then it's like radio silence. And then I was like, do we think John should leave? And everyone's like, ah.
That actually sounds kind of fun.
It is. But then like this one guy like picked up a glass and like threw it on the ground and like shards of glass. I mean, nobody got hurt or anything.
Right.
But I was like, can we get like a cleanup? Like this guy's fucking unhinged.
And then the
security took him out.
Thank God.
Yeah.
He threw a fucking glass.
Insane.
I hate people. I really hate them.
I'm like, even still, you're still trying to be like, I need attention. Like, you know what I mean?
Right?
You couldn't just be like shamed and leave. You had to like, you know, go out with literally a bang. It was so ridiculous.
A literal bang.
Yeah.
Well, whoever that guy is, fuck you. We fucking hate you.
Exactly.
And
he's listening. He's listening.
Oh, 1,000% he's listening. Is it Sophia the Neff?
His favorite podcast.
1,000%.
And then he saw I was here. He loves us.
He tuned the fuck in. Okay, this is so interesting to me because there's so many allies to the LGBTQ plus community. It's almost become kind of virtue signaling or performative. And I want to ask you, how can you be an ally without overstepping?
That's a really great question.
That's a tough question.
No, it's a tough question, but it's a really great question. Once again, just not making it about you. That applies online, not just in person. There's a nice way that I've like heard somebody articulate it before, where it's think about it as Twitter. Like, are you quote tweeting or are you retweeting? If every single thing that you are saying is based about your own perspective, this goes for every movement, for every group of marginalized people.
Yeah.
Like during summer of 2020, after George Floyd, I was making it a point to not preface everything with like, as a cis white gay man, I shouldn't be saying anything. But I'm like, no, I'm like, I just will like uplift voices that actually need to be heard, people that are much more knowledgeable on the topic, people that have things to say that aren't from my perspective, because ultimately my perspective doesn't exactly matter in that situation.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when people are trying to be allies, they're making it about themselves, and they kind of want like a pat on the back, and they want their like, they want their ally cookies. And it's like, we're not doing that.
Ally cookies.
Yes. I believe that's a Z-way term, honestly.
That's fucking incredible. I've been guilty of this one, using drag terms in my daily vernacular. Uh-huh. I don't do this anymore, but I used to say hunty 700 times a day. And there's, you know, there's people that will say hunty or slay or things like that. What do you think about that? Is that annoying to you? Do you think it's fine?
It really depends. To me, I find it fine, particularly if you have, if you surround yourself with like queer people.
Yes.
And you are like an ally like that. Mm-hmm. But there are people that even find an issue when fucking white gays like myself with wigs on use it, because it all comes from like the ballroom scene, which is predominantly like black men and black trans women.
Okay.
So like a lot of the things that we say are trickling down from that culture that I'm not even a part of. So for me, I'm like, if you don't mean it with malice, if you are just trying to have fun and like use common lingo, common jargon,
yeah,
I don't think it's a huge issue. There are people that do, and I'm like, who's to say that like my opinion's right and theirs wrong? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm like, if I heard you saying hunty, I wouldn't be mad.
You wouldn't be pissed at
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be pissed at you. And also you're like, I mean, even in the most simplistic terms, like I don't know like who you hang out with or who you surround yourself with, but like you have a platform, you have me on your podcast, you obviously aren't just like, hunty, like abolish gay rights. You know what I mean? Like you obviously are not like a shitty person and meaning it in a bad way. So for me, it's mostly about intention.
Yes. I think if you are listening and you are extremely conservative and you are against the LGBTQ community and you're out here saying slay, take that word and that term out of your mouth. You're not allowed to use it anymore.
Exactly.
But if like, you're not that person, then whatever.
Yeah. Like when like Fox News is saying like, we have somebody about to spill the tea. I'm like,
please.
I'm like, I mean this with all due respect. Fucking stop. Like, please stop. Actually, I mean it with no respect. It's Fox News. Fuck that.
Okay, like, what? Yeah. Also, why the fuck is Fox News using the word slay in the first place?
Right.
Please.
Spill the tea. Like, ugh. People are
I
ridiculous.
Can't even imagine. I definitely don't say spill the tea, but I feel like it's because it's outdated.
But yes, I agree. I'm not even a person that's like, yes, spill the tea, but I'm like almost like an affirmative, like a yes. Like I use like just like tea all the time. Like
tea.
Like, oh, that's tea. Like, yeah. Like, oh, I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
And then tea is, you know, AAVE as well.
Yes.
And so I'm always aware of that too.
Yes.
It's just, I feel like if you're supportive of that community, and I feel like you can always ask if
Precisely.
You're around, you know?
Yes, exactly, which is what you just did, so.
Thank
you're
good. You.
You're all good.
Oh my God, I'm fucking killing it right now. You know who's killing it more is fucking you. And I think this is what people really want to know about. Fuck all the educational.
Oh my God, yeah, we just went on a full like reading rainbow type moment right now.
No, I'm kidding. That is the shit we should be talking about, and we did. Now it's time to talk about makeup, ass, wigs, everything.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Izzy, you were going to potentially do my makeup.
Oh my God.
And then Izzy was like, you can't fucking afford me, so it's not happening.
No, you can afford me, but I was like, we did not arrange this ahead of time.
I'm fucking with you. You did not say that. She was very, very sweet, and it couldn't happen. We'll do it one day.
Oh, absolutely. But getting myself into drag this morning and then
how long does it take?
I like to give myself 2 hours from like shower to car. Usually I end up giving myself like an hour and a half. People ask, they're like, how long does it take to get in drag? I'm like, as long as I have plus 15 minutes. So I gave myself an hour today. So I did from like face to like putting on the hair, putting on the body and the outfit. Everything took 1 hour.
But usually it takes an hour and a half.
Yeah, usually I'll do an hour and a half. I know like where to cut the corner. Sometimes I'll like draw a crease and different shadows and stuff. Today is just like a lot of graphic liner.
Okay.
I'm like, it's early, sorry.
It took me 1 hour to 2 hours to get ready.
Yeah.
So, hi, look at your makeup versus mine. Why is that happening? It's probably because you have so much practice.
I think so.
I mean, I have a mental breakdown, and this is not me being dramatic, a mental doing a winged eyeliner.
It's so annoying. I hate it.
I've thrown it. I've chucked it across the room.
I hate doing a winged liner.
I can't fucking do it. And so I can't even imagine the makeup you're doing. Insane.
I do a wing every single time, and every single time I'm like, fuck this shit.
Right?
Like, it never gets easier. It gets easier, it never gets less frustrating, I should say.
Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband, Art, and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers now, playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I think you probably have some incredible makeup tips, though.
Yes,
you have to.
I do.
How do you keep your makeup on forever? Is it Urban Decay?
All-nighter spray is great.
Okay.
But I use this setting spray. It's sold at a store called Alcone here in the city. You can get it online as well. It's called Blue Marble, and they use it for like stage and screen a lot. So like I'm like sweating when I'm like performing. I'm basically every like show I do is like hit training essentially.
Yeah.
So like
the Urban Decay is not going to cut it.
Exactly. Yeah. So Blue Marble is this is the brand or the name of it. And it's great. Also, the Patrick Star One Size, they make a lot of great products.
Okay.
I would suggest that.
So for anyone listening, even if you're not doing drag per se, but you are going to have crazy wild sex for 12 hours.
Precisely.
This is what you should be getting. What is it called?
Blue Marble.
Blue Marble.
Yes.
Okay. I fucking love that. Speaking of hating putting makeup on... There is no way in hell that you actually enjoy putting makeup on, correct?
I did not get in drag because I liked makeup, like, at all in the slightest.
Thank you.
Yeah, because, you know, it was, like, cheerleading, and you know all-star cheerleading. Mm-hmm. Like, it's performance-based.
Yes.
It's all, like, subjective scoring. It's, like, the theatrics, the this, the that. It's, like, it's not... It's more about like putting on a show, and
right. That's
what like really drew me to drag. And I also wanted to like host a show and be funny and talk. And like, then I was like, the makeup can come last. So I like did a little bit of makeup before. I think I practiced a face like once before my first time in drag. And I was like, I hate it. Who cares? And then my first time in drag, I'm like, I still hate it. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, okay, I heard that Elmer's glue on the eyebrows.
Yes.
What is that about?
So if you have eyebrows, which I don't, underneath all this, I'm like an eyebrowless little like alien. Yeah.
I love that.
At first I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. And now I'm like, it makes me look so interesting.
So your eyebrows are drawn on?
Yeah. So
they look amazing.
Thank you.
I didn't even notice.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. Killing it.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I have no eyebrows now. I'm like full-time queens. A lot of times they'll shave them off just because it takes so much time. I used to use the purple Elmer's glue stick because I believe that was the one that like wasn't water soluble. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was the vice versa. I can't remember. But you would like go up with all the hairs and then you would take like a spoolie and then you would flatten it out with like the back end of a spoolie or a comb or something.
I thought you were about to say a hair straightener.
Oh my God. No. Can you imagine? You burn it. No. And then you put powder on top and everything, and then you put all your foundation on. Basically, just creates like a fresh start, a new layer.
Okay.
And now I'm like, I have nothing
now
there.
Now you don't have to do that.
Exactly. And it's you'll always see a little bit of texture when you do that. And then those are the first things to come off when you start sweating. Not having brows, just the makeup goes on so much smoother. I just prefer, like, if you can shave your brows and you don't care and you're doing drag and like,
fucking shave.
Yeah,
them.
Just do it. It's easy. It's fun.
I would do that 1000%.
Yeah. Every time I like put on shaving cream, I look like Santa Claus because it's like all white, like it's all up, like it's all up on where the eyebrows are, and then it goes back down in the beard area. Like I have just a full like face of shaving cream. I'm just like,
it's fucking hilarious. It's you have a lot of makeup on right now.
Yes.
Can we all agree?
Absolutely.
A pound of makeup.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. Izzy was going to bring champagne and she accidentally forgot, which is really funny because I was drinking rosé and I also forgot. So we're doing this sober, which is fucking shocking, but we discussed how we will drink before you perform. Sometimes I will when I'm podcasting. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that at 12, but I would be lying if I said I've never, you know, had a few glasses at 10 a.m. recording.
Precisely.
I've done it.
Yeah.
But you drink a little bit. You are so fucking exhausted. You can't lie to me right now. Do you take your makeup off every night before you go to sleep?
I've gotten really good at actually doing it. And the reason is because I'm so uncomfortable in drag that I almost never leave the gig in drag.
Oh.
So there's a lot of people, like I'm going to get out of drag here if you don't mind. Like, I'm going to leave the face because I have a show later, but I'm going to take all of this off and be like full boy except for the makeup. It's so uncomfortable. Like, right now, like I'm not even wearing, usually I wear like a little cincher and I'll have like a bra with like fake tits in it. But I'm wearing like pads of like foam pads for my ass right now.
And why though?
And to make it bigger, to make to give like an hourglass shape.
I was gonna ask you, once again, I was talking on Instagram, I was gonna say, how did you get your ass to look like that?
It's like
my tits, it's not real.
It's just, yeah, exactly, it's not real.
It's a facade.
Yeah, it's all magic, it's magician bullshit. But you wear, basically, you wear these pads that are like kind of the shape of like Africa, and then I have these like circular butt pads, and they're that shape because they go down the thigh right here, and they go around towards the ass, and then I put like more ass on as well, and then you wear 6 pairs of tights like over top to like compress them all.
6 pairs.
A lot of people can do like 4. For me, what I found is like I do my 6. I don't know if you ever looked at like a picture of like Beyonce. She's always wearing like a fishnet stocking. And then I do another layer over top so the fishnet is to add like shadow.
Are you sweating your balls off right now?
Oh yeah, I'm like constantly sweating. Okay. Yeah, I'm wearing like a hat of hair right now. It's like no heat.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it's so hot. So like the way that
how the Kardashians feel.
Exactly. Yeah, like I got here and was like, I kind of have to pee. And I was like, I can definitely hold it. As long as this is going to take, it's going to be more annoying to take it off. So yeah, and like all the costumes are like itchy. There's like sequins and stuff. Yeah. Like it's just like, so to get out of drag, like at the gig is my favorite. And then just like come on up and like have just like my bag of woman and just like be a full boy with like my no eyebrows, my like mullet. And like look like a completely different person. I also like getting out of drag and like walking like through the bar and not having to like deal with people that I don't want to deal with. Sometimes, I'll see people that know me and it's fine and it's lovely. But other times, I'm like, if I want to just like beeline to the car.
Can I get a picture?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, no, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm hot. Like, my makeup doesn't look as good as it did 2 hours ago.
Right.
So it's nice to just like be a boy and sit at the bar sometimes and just chill, or like beeline it to the car and and just like hold Izzy in the bag.
Hold Izzy in the bag.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, before everyone comes for me and bitches me out because I've been referring to you as she. We spoke about it before, and your pronouns, he or she works with you.
Yes. When I'm in drag, go with she, her, because gay people are gay people. Like, we're always like this mic is she. Like, it's like, oh, is she working? She's working. Okay, we're good. Can you move the table? Can you move her? Thank you. Like, I'm like, everybody knows me, like every single person in my life, like in like a significant sense, really has met me within like the past like several years, or they know me through drag. So even my closest friends, when I'm out of drag, they call me Izzy. So yeah, he, him, she, her, out of drag, I don't care. In drag, do she, her. But yeah, no, I definitely identify as like a cis man that does drag. So
is it bad that I don't have my pronouns in my bio, or I don't ask every single person I meet their pronouns? Should I start doing that?
I don't think it's bad. I think by having your pronouns in your bio, particularly as like a person of influence, it's setting the precedent that it's like pronouns are a topic of conversation.
Yes.
So even if your pronouns are she, her, and you're like, I look like a cis woman, people would normally identify me as she, her. Like, even if by your mind, you're like, oh, there's probably not much confusion, it just kind of sets the precedent that have that conversation, have it open, and just if everybody has it, then it's not just for people that are outside of like typical gender structures.
Right. It draws attention to the bigger picture.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so no, it's not bad, but if you want to put it in there, I say go for it. It's the future, baby.
It is the fucking future, and I need to get with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to do a Sleut University.
Okay.
So university is where I teach everyone something, whether that's how to suck dick or how to deal with anxiety.
Okay? I'm excited.
We're all over the spectrum. And I think
some people deal with anxiety by sucking dick.
I do.
Yeah.
I threw up on a dick 3 weeks ago, by the way, and it was really fucking
I threw up on
horrible.
The first dick I ever sucked.
You did?
Girly.
Yes! Because we're fucking incredible.
Exactly, because we go for it.
Yeah, thank you. We're not going to talk about that. But we're like, how you can throw up on a dick.
Yeah.
I have heard some men like that, though. Extra lubrication.
Jesus.
I'm just saying. But I'm so glad you're here, because a lot of people can't wrap their brain around being transgender and a drag queen.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, would you agree with me, don't understand that.
Yes, I completely agree.
I want you to kind of break that down.
So, being a drag queen, I mean, in my sense, I'm a cis man. I live my life as a man, and I dress like a lady for many. I have my shows, and I'm in full drag, and the persona, the stage name, the character that I am. I mean, my personality is exactly the same in and out of drag, but Izzy Uncut is the face, is the brand, and then Kyle is the boy underneath it. So. A lot of drag queens are cis men, but there's also a lot of drag queens that are trans men that do female drag, or trans men that do masculine drag. There's trans women that do female drag. So it's not a one size fits all. It's not that every drag queen is a cis man.
Yeah.
But trans women are not always drag queens, you know what
right.
I mean? And so a trans woman is somebody that was most times assigned male at birth and now identifies as a woman.
Right.
But In my case, that is not the case. It's difficult because people see us all the same way and they kind of pigeonhole everybody into the same group. At the end of the day, you should be respecting everybody the exact same. It shouldn't matter, but just for educational purposes, everybody should know that, like, you see me walking down the street and I'm completely different than, like, seeing a trans woman walking down the street that lives her life like that every single day.
Yes, and I totally understand that. And I know the answer to this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Yes.
Just to educate people.
You have a university.
Harder to get into than Harvard, by the way.
We love.
It really is. Is drag only for gay men?
No.
Thank you.
Hard no on that.
Thank you. Yeah. A lot of people assume that it is.
Yeah, no. It is not only for gay men. Like I was saying, there are...
like you said.
There's women, there's cis women that do drag. Mm-hmm. One of my good friends that I started with, Miss Vicky DeVille, she is a cis woman. She does phenomenal drag. She does makeup better than me. She looks stunning all the time. She does a lot of Christina impersonation. And people are oftentimes shocked when they hear that there is, like, women that were assigned female at birth, like, mm-hmm. doing the art of drag. And they're like, what's the point? What's the transformation? And I was like, if you look at her on the street, like in her everyday, and you look at her doing drag, it's like there's more of a transformation than a lot of like men that go to women.
Okay, so I could do drag if I wanted to. Not saying that I would be good at it, but I can if I want.
Anyone. Absolutely. Yes.
Anyone.
Absolutely. Like if I were to put you in drag and like I did the brows, I did the whole thing. I put you in like an elaborate costume and you were performing drag. Because everybody thinks that like drag is just female illusion.
Yes.
But I'm not going for realness. Like me walking, like me crossing the street, like here to WTF Studios.
Yes.
Like nobody was thinking like, oh, like she's trying to look like that woman like in yoga pants right now.
Right, right, right.
So like drag is such its own thing that it really is for anybody.
Right. My shirt just fucking unbuttoned because my boobs are
They're so fucking big. Yeah.
My nipple just came out. I'm not kidding.
You're huge naturals.
The huge naturals. Oh my God. I could talk to you for 7 more hours. We need to wrap this up. I'm gonna ask one last question for real this time.
All right.
We talked about makeup, the wig.
Yes.
Yeah, it spilled. Do the Kardashians wear a wig?
Oh, absolutely.
All of them, right?
They all do.
How long is the process of putting on a wig? Because for some reason, I think it would be easier to put on than to style my hair every day.
It kind of would be. It'd be more annoying, but yeah, basically you take all your hair. If you have long hair like you have to basically pin it up in like almost like a circular pattern to mm-hmm. spread it all out. Because if you were just put it in a ponytail and put it at the back, you would have like a giant just like bump in the back of your head.
Yeah.
So you basically have to kind of like move it around in a way where all your hair is dispersed across your entire head.
Mm-hmm.
You put the wig cap on and then you just plop the wig on. The Kardashians have amazing wigs.
How much do you think their wigs cost?
I have a friend that makes a few of their wigs and they're in the, they're usually around like $2,000 to $7,000 range.
Stop.
Yeah. It. A friend, not even, I mean, we're not like besties by any mean, but somebody I knew through cheerleading.
Okay, name dropping.
Yes, it's somebody I knew through cheerleading. You might know them too. Who knows? He was an all-star cheerleader. He makes great wigs. But yeah, he makes a few for the Kardashians. And like they're not even trying to hide that. They absolutely wear wigs like a lot of times. Yeah.
Yes. And do they, I thought about getting one for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And then I saw how expensive they were. But then I was thinking about how healthy my fucking hair would get.
Yeah.
If I just wore a wig every day and I wasn't doing shit to it. But you are fucking incredible. I'm definitely going to have you back on.
Oh my God,
where
you.
Can they find you, Izzy?
You can find me on all platforms at Izzy Uncut. It's I-Z-Z-Y, exactly how they spell it in the Bible. And then Uncut, just like uniqueness, nerve, charisma, uniqueness, talent.
Oh my fucking God.
You can tell I say that on my shows like all the time. You know what I mean? Like
you could have fooled me actually. I was like, how is she like thinking?
I just came up with that.
Oh my God.
I got the mind of a mastermind.
You are. I'm so happy. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, you guys can find me, Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, on all my social media platforms, except on TikTok. There's a number 0 at the end. But it might be, what did we say it's going to be? Lucy Vagina?
What's
Vanina.
Lucy Vanina.
Lucy Vanina.
Yes.
I might change it to that, but we'll see. I love you guys so much. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Bye.